Yeah, it's good. Good to have
Christian brothers and sisters. Man, there used to be a time, Nate, that nobody wanted me at their house. Nobody wanted me around. It ain't the story now. And it's good to be wanted. It's good to have people who want me around them. Excuse me for rolling up my sleeves. I'm a little warm. And but thank God, because the last time I was here, they still didn't have the heat in. But we give glory to God that there's heat in here now. And so thank God for that. And you know, like you said, you know, we work with men and women that are in jail and prison. I came out of jail and prison. I spent many years in prisons in three different states. I was an addict for many years, ex-gang member, did all that kind of stuff, and in and out of mental hospitals, in and out of rehabs, and so on and so forth. But you know, the one thing I had to come to the realization, Daniel, is that I was an enemy of God.
Right.
Sitting in the church, I had to realize that I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy while I was seeking Him. I was an enemy of God while I sat in the church pew. I was an enemy of God while I was reading His Word. I was an enemy of God while I was out there thinking that I was doing these things. You go, why do you say that? Because when a person comes to the realization what they really are in God's eyes, if you're not saved, you are an enemy of God. You are not His friend. He loves you and He died. How many of you can honestly say in your heart you love your enemies? Be real. Don't be fake because you're in church and be a, you know, a fake and a hypocrite. You don't love your enemies. You know how I know we don't love our enemies? Because we're not going out there doing those things that Jesus Christ did for His enemies. But until a person comes to the realization that they're an enemy of God, no matter what they're seeking, no matter what kind of religion they have in their life, no matter what kind of profession they've ever made, you are an enemy of God without Jesus Christ. My friend, you better get in that Bible and seek it out. God gave us a wonderful Bible, and if anybody's in need of a King James Bible, you go ahead and take that one that's in the pew. We'll replace it. Not a problem. I'm sure the pastor won't mind you taking that Bible. I'd rather you have a Bible in your hand than not have a Bible in your hand. Why? Because it all comes from the Word of God. That's where salvation comes from, the Word of God. How we are to live our lives, instruction comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is a necessary thing. Then why did I need to get saved? Well, it's obvious that I could not run my life. So what does God do in His mercy? He gives me a Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. God gave me a Bible. He gave me an instruction manual on how to run my life. Okay? He didn't say here, this man wrote this book and I want you to follow that book. He said, here's my word. You take and put that in your heart and follow it. And it'll change your life. Amen. It'll change your life. But you must stand as an enemy of God, as a lost person. Look at, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to just teach here for, well, teach. I always say teach. I ain't going to teach. I'm going to preach. It's just how it is with me. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I want to talk about some Bible proofs of salvation. What does salvation do for a person? What is Bible salvation? And if I started taking a toll in the room and asked people one by one, what is, not what you conceive to be Bible salvation, but what is Bible salvation? What does God call salvation? What does that look like to Him? We're going to look at some of that, and we're going to look at some of the proofs that people have this salvation. You go, why do you preach a message like that in a church? Because there's lost people sitting in this room now.
Yes.
And more than the one that I know. There are some who are deceived by their own heart, thinking they're saved and they're not. You go, what? Oh, yeah. Trust me, I held on to a profession for a long time. And that profession would have led me to hell, Chelsea. Would have led me straight to hell. I would have busted hell wide open with the profession that I was a saved person and living for hell. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if, you notice that if, that's a big word in the King James Bible, because maybe some are and maybe some are. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he might be. Oh, wait. That says is. You understand? He is a new creature. This isn't something that just might happen to a person. Oh, no, that happens. That happens to a person when they have Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Not a new creation like those other Bibles call it. I'm not a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. Why am I a new creature in Christ? I now have Jesus Christ living inside of me. That makes me a new creature, not a new creation. I'm still a human being. Can't you see I still got all the tattoos on my body? I didn't get created over, but the inward got changed.
Amen.
I now have Jesus Christ living inside of me. The other Bibles will change it around, call you a new creation. I'm not a new creation. Still a human being. Do I look something different? No, I'm not. You know why, brother? It's an inward change. It's an inward change. Do you know how easy it is for God to change those outward things that I did? How easy it was for him to change me being a drug addict? By the way, I'm going to say something. I'm not in recovery. I'm recovered. That's over. That's past. Why? Because Jesus Christ made me a new creature. 15-year opioid addiction. Brother, let me ask you one question. A 15-year opioid addiction, what other chemical drug do you think that I had to go on to get off of that in Jesus? People hate to hear that because they have to use something else to get off of. When my pastor met me, 15 psychotropic drugs. That's what the mental health counselor had me on. When one drug didn't work, they put me on another one. When that one didn't work, they put me on another one. When that one didn't work, they put me on another. I was almost 300 pounds and more suicidal then than ever. Matter of fact, my wife had to put me in a mental hospital. Chelsea, how many drugs do you think I take today? Zero. Why is that, brother? Jesus stepped in and made me a new creature. Yeah, a new creature. He came inside of me and he lives inside of me now. And those things that he no longer wants in there, he kicks them out. He don't allow them to stay in there. As I said in the 10 o'clock service, after I got saved, I never went back to jail. I never went back to prison. Never went back to drinking. Never went back to smoking. Never went back to doing any of those things. Why? Well, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is. He is, not maybe, not hope so, but he is a new creature. Old things might pass away. Oh, no. That's a wonderful, that A-R-E is wonderful. Why? Because it says those old things are going to go away. They're not going to stay in your life anymore. When Jesus Christ steps in, those things start stepping out. He starts getting them out of your life. Why? Because I was supposed to look more like Jesus and less like myself. Look, let me just tell you this. If you're serving a Jesus who leaves you the same person that you've always been, you got the wrong Jesus. Let me help you on that. You don't have the Jesus of this Bible. Because the Jesus of this King James Bible, anytime somebody runs into him, guess what happens? Their life changes. Brother, you've been reading the Bible a long time. Have you been reading the Bible a long time? Anytime you see Jesus come in contact with somebody, are they changed? Pretty simple. Then why aren't people changing? Why are they still doing the same thing they've always done? Why are they still saying, well, I'm sick in the head, or I got this, or I got that? What? I thought Jesus Christ changed everything. It's just a fantasy that happened to me, right? I'm just some miracle thing that God had done with just me. Well, if I remember your dad correctly, he was taking what? 100 Benadryl a day, smoking dope, being an abuser. How much of that you think he takes today? Oh, it's just a miracle that happened with me and your dad. Oh, wait. You see these two up front? Full-blown out alcoholics. Couldn't stop. Doing all kinds of drugs and everything else. Let me... How much of that are you drinking today, guys?
Amen.
How many times have you went back to it, Chelsea? Why? Well, let's read what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are, A-R-E, passed away. That's present tense. Behold. That means stop and take a look. All things are, A-R-E, present tense, become new. I didn't hear one amen on that. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe nobody got a new life in Jesus. We don't have to be quiet in here. We can say amen and get a... Wait, look, we can get a little bit rowdy. We can be happy. Everybody just said, if you can't stand the shouting, then don't go to heaven. Because my Bible says in the book of Revelation, they're going to be shouting. You might not want to go to heaven then if you don't like shouting. But you know why I like to shout? Because it says I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If your life has not changed, if you have not, look it. And by the way, when you're saved for a long period of time, God doesn't just put it in neutral and let you coast out of here. He's still doing a work in you.
Right.
If he's not doing a work in you, there's a problem. I travel around to enough churches and I just see people say, yeah, you know, I've been saved 40 years. And they're still doing all this kind of drugs. I go, man, if that's salvation after 40 years, I don't want it. I wanted out of what I was in. I wanted to get away from who I was. I didn't want to have those inward things that were eating me apart. The hatred and the bitterness and the dislikes and the jealousies. And hey, I had murder in my heart. I wanted those things out of my heart. So many people say, well, I can't reckon myself to be a murderer. You're a murderer if you told a liar. You're just as guilty as a murderer. God doesn't put levels on sin. Taryn, unfortunately, if you ever told a lie, which I know you have, because you got a sin nature, you're a murderer and you're a rapist. Go ahead and let that sit in your heart. Go ahead, look, go ahead and bring that to Jesus Christ when you come to the realization of what you are. Good little boy. You know how his parents got to church, Daniel? That little boy used to come on Wednesday nights. Pastor John would go and get him, or he'd be with his grandparents an hour and a half away, and Pastor John would go get him and bring him to church, and he'd raise his hand on Wednesday nights and say, can you please pray that my mom and dad stop drinking?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hey, get excited, because here they are sitting in church. One of them saved, and two of them seeking God.
That's
something to be excited about. I don't get over that kind of stuff very easily. Thank God for a push of a button. Why do you say that? Because her dad sent an email, and that's how they got in contact with pastor and started coming to church. Thank God for a button. Well, anyway. What are some proofs of this Bible salvation? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. First of all, we got to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's one of the things you got to do. You got to take the Bible. And you got to take this thing. You got to look at. You got to not just read it, but become it. Let it become you. Let it show you. Examine what you are. Because what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. How can you not know if Jesus Christ is in you? When Jesus Christ stepped in, my life started stepping out. When Jesus Christ stepped into your life, I watched him watch those old things go out of your life. Your mother grew up on the different side of the tracks than I did, Luke. She grew up on one of those good, religious Catholic homes. She would have bust hell wide open with that nonsense. God had to step in and change her. Why? She's wicked. Wicked. Good, law-abiding citizen over there going to college. Dad teaching her, go to college and be a businesswoman. Go to college and sell your life out. Sell your soul for money. Sell your soul for business. And she was going to bust hell wide open. There's many law-abiding citizens sitting in this church today that think they're going to heaven, and they're not. Because you're a good law-abiding citizen doesn't make you right with God.
Right.
You better examine yourself. And don't examine yourself by what you do or don't do. Examine yourself in that Bible.
Right. Good.
If there's something in that Bible that don't agree with you, you better find out why. Why are people today so afraid to examine the doubts that they have? You mean to tell me you think I stand up here and think people are not doubting their salvation? Are you out of your mind? Why did God bring this message? Not for me to make you doubt, but for you to go out and you better get serious about checking if you're saved or not. Because you may not even realize you're a lost person, but I'll tell you one thing you better realize. You're under condemnation. You're going to bust hell wide. Those flames are hot. They're for eternity. You'll go there. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. To examine is to inspect carefully, to view or desire to discover the truth. You know why people don't examine themselves? They're afraid what they're going to find, Chelsea. Man, when you examine yourself, ain't it wonderful to find Jesus sitting there on the other side? There was a time in her life that wouldn't happen. She'd examine herself and go, no, Jesus isn't there. Where do you stand with this? Brother, do you know it's okay for people to examine themselves and be lost? Because when they realize they're lost, they can be found. They can be saved. But people don't want to come to that place. They don't want that truth. They don't want to see it. But that word examine means to actually look at yourself and compare it and see where you stand in God's eyes. How you compare to Him. How do we do that in the Word of God? By that Bible. You go, oh, I'm frustrated at this thing. This thing aggravates me. Hey, look at man, I don't care how aggravated you get. I don't care how frustrating it gets. You keep at it. You keep on keeping on because God is working. You just don't know that. You don't know all that He's doing behind the scenes. You don't know all the praying that's going on. Look at man, I know it seems like you're just like, that's it. I'm giving up. I'm done with it. And God says, keep on, because why? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're lost in here and you know it, like you think you're seeking, Jesus Christ has begun the seeking way before you were born. Either that's the truth or it's a lie. Is He not, or is He not seeking you? It's what it came, He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is He? It's not that He don't want to save you. It has nothing to do with God. It's on your part. You go, well, what is it then? I don't know. Once you start fasting and getting along with it, you go, I've tried that. Then stop trying and let God do it. Amen. Let God do it. He didn't tell you you had to do a million things to get to Him. Boy, ever heard of anybody ever hear of lordship salvation? That means you have to get rid of all this stuff out of your life before you can get saved. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Amen. He said, come to Him as you are.
Right.
You know how God took me in? Broken. Addicted to drugs. On all kinds of medications. Addicted to pornography. An abuser to my wife and my children. That's how He took me in, Nate. I didn't have to clean up all that stuff out of my life to get to Him. You know how long that would have took? Do you know how long? That's why hell is for eternity. Because it would have took me that long to pay for one of my sins. One sin cost me an eternity in hell. One lie. Love my children. But my children couldn't get in on my coattail.
Right.
They needed to be saved on their own. There was nothing. I could not help my children to get saved outside of loving them and teaching them that Bible. They didn't just get in because their dad's a preacher. Don't you sit here for 1 minute thinking that your kids or that you, because you grew up in church, you're just going to naturally just float right in. That's a lie. That's a lie. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Turn there, because I want some people that weren't here at 10 o'clock to see this. It's very important. Look, this is why it's important to have the Word of God. It's why it's important to have the King James Bible, because it teaches us so much. There's so many differentials in here, so many things that God has put in here to show us what's going on, who's talking, who's doing what. And so it says there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, look what it says. The Spirit, notice that capital S, Spirit. Okay, that's very important to know that is the work of God. Okay, this is not our spirit. Okay, look what it says. The Spirit itself bear witness with what? A small S spirit. That's our spirit. You see how precise that King James Bible is? It's wonderful.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Hey man, God knew what He was doing when He did that, didn't He, Daniel? Because here's what's going on today. God knew that in this day and age that people were going to try to convince themselves that they were saved. They were going to go to a man and try to have that man convince them that they're saved. And I thank God that there's been times that God has removed me out of somebody's life so I didn't convince them that they were lost or saved. That God was able to do that. How does He do that? That book. That Bible bears witness with our spirit. I asked the people earlier. I asked Daniel earlier. I said, do your children have to come up to you every day and ask, are you my dad? No, they do not. Why? Because the Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with their spirit that they're His children. If you are a saved, born-again person, God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit. It's not your spirit bearing witness with your spirit. It's God's Spirit bearing witness inside of you that you're His child. Do you know what it means to be a child? And the importance of being the child of God? It's not about how you're trying to convince yourself that you're something you might not be. And they're being deceived. How do we know? First of all, there's change in the saved person's life. I don't care how good of a home you grew up in. My wife grew up in a wonderful, good home. Good parents. Taught her everything. I grew up on the streets, west side of Buffalo. Out there as a gang member. Out there fighting. Out there doing all that stuff. Spending time in jail and prison. Did I need a different Jesus than her?
No. Same Jesus.
But Daniel people, good religious people, can't get that in their head. I always tell my wife, she goes, honey, what good is my testimony going to be? Miss Jen, you know what I tell my wife? I said, honey, they know people like me need to get saved. What they don't realize is people like her need to be saved.
Amen.
Good law-abiding, tax-paying Christian citizens, huh? They need to get saved just as well. And what a testimony it is, Daniel, when those girls go, wow. Because I work in jails and prisons across the United States. I work with them here locally in three different jails. Plus, we go to all the state prisons. And we're getting ready to open a ladies' transition home. Because most of these ladies have been on the streets their whole life. You think they know how to be a mom? Well, who's going to teach them how to be a mom? The welfare? Social services? It's a failure. It's an absolute failure with the stuff they have set out there for those women that learn how to be a mom. Tell them, hey, God intended for you to be a wife. Do you know what that does to them? There ain't no man going to have control over me, because that's what society has taught them, and they're missing out on the blessings of being a wife. How do you like being a wife?
Love it.
Are you being abused? Hey, man, where's my whip? Isn't it wonderful that God has given you a man to carry you when you need to be carried? Do you know those girls out there in the streets don't have that? Do you know those poor ladies out there have nobody to help them carry anything, that they're out there on their own? But let me tell you this. You know why most of them are like that? Because there are effeminate men out there thinking they're a man. Little wimps that call themselves a man. You ain't no man. It don't take a man to fight. It don't take a man to do drugs. It don't take... How old is Rosalie?
8 months.
8 months? I put a gun in her hand. She can pull that trigger. If I told her. Does that make her a tough woman?
No.
But that's what the girls are being told. That's a man. Feeding them drugs. Abusing them. How about that woman that was out there on that train, Amy? How bad she felt. What do you think she went through that night before to get that way? Mm. And people are out there, Chelsea. And they're waving because she stunk to high heaven. Man, I want to take their heads off of their shoulders, brother. Because I knew what that poor lady went through the night before. Selling herself and how many men she's had to go out there and do that to get what she needed. And she lay there without Christ and nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody cared about her soul. They just cared about how bad she stunk. Wouldn't to God they'd step in her shoes for 24 hours and see how they handle that. Well, don't ask me how I got on that, but thank God for it. What spirit is witnessing to you? Is it your spirit? Is it God's spirit? If you examine yourself in the Word of God, it'll prove it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this, my friend. Here's some proof. Here's how you know if you're saved. Look at this proof right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Look at what it says here. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There are so many deceived people sitting in church today thinking they're right with God, thinking that they've got this thing called salvation, and they don't. They're being deceived. It says, be not deceived. neither fornicators. Oh my good. Go in prison, go in jail, go into the rehabs and tell those people, do you know that fornication, which is unmarried sex, they don't even know what that is. Nobody's telling them that's against God. They're fornicators. That means they're having unmarried sex and calling it okay. And in God's eyes, it's not okay. God hates it. I was a fornicator, brother. I knew how to fornicate. But let me tell you this, brother. You think anybody ever came to prison to tell me how bad fornication was and what it was doing to my body? Would to God they would have. Would to God they would have. Don't we go in there and tell them? I'll go in there and say this. I'll say, hey, here's what I want you. I'll do it to men and women. And I'll say, how many of you have a husband out there? And they'll raise their hand. I'll say, all right, how many of you have a boyfriend out there? And most of them will raise their hand. I said, if today you were to go home, what would you do with your boyfriend? I go, do you know God hates fornication? They go, man, I've never even heard that. It's natural to them to do that. It's natural for them to do that. Nobody's told. Why? Because they're naturally following their sin nature, but nobody's ever told them that's wrong. You see what it just said here? If you're a changed person, you're not a fornicator. Oh, are we fornicators or are we married? 22 years. We're getting ready to have our 20th anniversary. Did you imagine? I never in my life ever thought that I could be happy with one woman. That I could be satisfied with one woman. I was a player out there. Okay? I like to spread my seed all over the place. But you know what God did? He gave me a wife and he built a marriage. No longer a fornicator. Hallelujah. Look at this head here. We'll go on here in a minute. Hey, how do you know that your life has changed? Just stop fornicating. You won't want to do it because you know it's wrong against God. You want to do things that you're wrong against God, or do you want to please God? Which one is it? You can't do both. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. That means going out there and taking a rosary and praying on it and all that nonsense. Get out of the religiousness. It's not going to help you. Oh, well, here's the next one. Nor adulterers. Ain't that something? He tells you not to commit adultery. Not to commit fornication. The very things that nobody's ever came in and told me not to do. These are the things that convicted me because I didn't realize they were against God. Would to God somebody would have came in prison and preached on these things that I would know that I was doing things wrong against God before I made all the mistakes in the world, brother. Would to God I could have grew up in church. Would to God Daniel would have been different for me if I would have got saved at an earlier age. But I didn't. But I didn't. Well, let's keep going here. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. By the way, this does not have to be physical. This could be in your heart, man. If you're looking upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery.
Right.
Go ahead and stand in the grocery line and they got the little magazines there. You take the peek of a woman in a bikini. Please don't go home and do anything with your wife because you're going to bring that picture in your bed with your wife. You know what that is? That's an adulterer.
Right.
Brother, you think I'm crazy? How about this? If I see something during the day, that's half naked or something. Do you know I won't do anything with my wife because I don't want to bring that into my bedroom? How much respect do you have like that for your wife? That's adultery. Jesus Christ calls that adultery in your heart. He says these things. It's not what comes out of the man. It's what comes out of the man that makes defiles him. And he already says adultery, hatred, murders. It's all these things that are in the heart, the heart, the heart.
Right.
Well, do you mean to tell me that those things that have left your heart? That's what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ changed me. Those things are not in my heart anymore.
Amen.
I don't want to commit adultery or fornication. You know what Job said, brother? That he had to make a covenant with his eyes. Why? Because he didn't want to have eyes for somebody else. He has a wife.
Right.
You love your wife? Is she the love of your life? I hope you're opening the doors for her. How about that? Oh, you know, I used to tell God, thank you for the love of my life. And then I go around and get in the driver's seat and God goes, that's the love of your wife and she's got to open her own door. That's a reality. Do you open your own doors? Very rarely. Very rarely. Why? Because those things are out of my head. Nor feminine. You know what that means? That's not a homosexual man. That is a man who reacts on women's emotions. Why is that happening today? Because little boys are now being raised by just mamas. There's no man in their life. And if there's a man in their life, he's an abuser. He's a drug addict. He's an alcoholic. He's a gang member. Okay? That's what's going on out there in America. The divorce is through the roof. Hey, you know what's going on in the churches? Divorce. Why? Because people are still doing this stuff. Effeminate means a man who's reacting on a woman's emotions. They don't have anything else. I was raised by a woman. I had a lot of effeminate things inside of me. And I still struggle with that. Well, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here's my favorite part of this verse. And such were. You see, that's past tense. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not by my own spirit. Not by the things that I do. But I'm justified by Jesus Christ. And such word. I'm not those things anymore, Nate. Can you believe it? Why? That's proof of Bible salvation. You are no longer those things. If you still have those things in your life, there's two things going on. Number one, you're struggling. There's a difference between falling and continuing to live that way. If you're continuing to live that way, you have not fallen. You're choosing to live that way.
Amen.
Or you just don't have Jesus Christ. There's no other choices. Well, God does not save a person to leave them the same way they've always
right.
been. Why would you need salvation if God was just going to save you and leave you the same that you've always been?
Yeah.
What kind of God is that? That's a weak little petty God who can't step into a person's life and change them. When I tell people, let's say I go into a rehab or I go into a jail and they got a program in there that's, you know, helping people through rehab, and I tell them that Jesus Christ can take you off drugs without anything else, it blows their mind. They don't believe that, but yet they're some of the most religious people I've ever met in my life. The problem is they can't live it. Why? They have the same heart. Their heart has not been changed. Jesus Christ has not stepped into their life to change them. 15 psychotropic pills a day. Bipolar disorder, explosive anger disorder, depression, PTSD. They had me on all this medication. After I got saved, within 6 months, off of every single one of them. Why? That's what Jesus does. He changes lives when he steps into a person's life. He does not leave them the same that they've always been. If you don't have change in your life, the problem is you just may not have Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? That's okay. I believe you're in a safe church where you can say, that's okay. Because I believe there's some men in here who have some wisdom who can help show you to Jesus Christ. Who can help you show you how to examine this Bible against yourself. That Jesus Christ, you may come to Christ. Okay? I believe there's some people in here who can help people get to Jesus.
Amen.
You know what the problem is today? People are too afraid to say, I'm lost. I don't have this Jesus. Don't be afraid. Admit it. Why? Because God can work with somebody who can admit that more than he can somebody who's trying to pretend they have it. Because they're wide open to what God has to say now. You're hearing differently than you ever did in your entire life, the Word of God. Why is that, Nate? You think God has abandoned you, he don't want to save you, this ain't going to happen? No. You hear now better than you ever did in your life because God has circumcised your ears. Did you thank him for that this morning? Y'all. Just when you think God has given up on you, that's when the work begins. You have to stop. You got to give up on yourself. You have to stop yourself. Well, Colossians chapter 3. We'll probably close with this. I didn't even get a quarter of the message, but that's okay. I believe you get the point. Colossians chapter 3. Let's just read this and we'll do this in closing. There's proof of Bible salvation. There's change. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Those things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. Those thoughts that I used to have aren't there anymore. Guess what? God has given me new desires. He's given me new ways. He's given me new thoughts. He's given me new ways of speech. I didn't always talk this way. I talked Ubonics. I talked street language, okay? When I was out there, that's how I ran. That's what I did. I talked street language. And so when I came into church, my pastor, you know what he did? He sent me to college. JCC, he said, you need to go and learn how to speak English. I'm not kidding you, didn't he not? And so I went to college and I learned English, okay? And I learned how to speak proper English. And then not only that, but you know what happened? When God stepped into my life, as he did in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, it said, Isaiah said that God gave him a new tongue.
Right?
Amen. He gave me a new way of speech. He didn't just take away the drugs and the alcohol. He took away the bitterness, the hatred, and those things that were on the inside. And he taught me how to speak. Taught me how to sit with kings. He taught me how to sit with mayors of cities. And I can sit down with the mayor now and I can have conversations with them. That's the goodness of God, Nate. God can reach down farther than you think that you are with him. Nate, God can reach down farther than you think you are with him. You see that cross? That's a crossway. You know what that is right there? That's him taking that cross for you. And his soul going to hell for Nate. Why would he do that and not save you? That's what you got to contemplate. You got to reconcile that. You have to reconcile. You have to get that into your head. Of why would he do that and not save you? If you believe truly in that Bible that Jesus Christ died for you. Now let me tell you something. I did a study on belief, brother. Over 200 and some times the word belief. That's how I study my Bible. I do a word study, run it through the Bible, then I'll know that definition of that Bible. So I've ran it through that whole entire Bible. Here's a news breaker. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell you to trust Jesus Christ for your Savior, ever. It's belief. Always belief. Don't believe me? Go read the book of John. The book of John alone, 84 times the word belief is mentioned. Guess what he's talking about all 84 times? Salvation. That's throughout your whole entire Bible. Why? Because God's got to convince people to believe. Then he teaches them how to trust. Teaches them to believe first, then trust. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the very next verse say? How can they call in whom they don't believe? If a person believes, every person that says they believe in that Bible, guess what happened? It changed them. It made them do something. If you say that you believe that King James Bible is the Word of God and that you believe every word that's in there, it will make you go and do something. It will make you do something different than you ever did. It will make you believe what's in that Bible. That's what belief does. Belief demands an action. You can't say you believe that Bible and not get saved. Can't. You know why? Because there's something in there you do not believe. There's something in there you don't believe. There's something in that Bible that you don't believe. And when you do, it's over. You got to reconcile what that is. Colossians, then we're going to close with this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says this. If, love that word if in the Bible. That's a good word. Why? Because some people are, some people aren't. If you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are on earth. We stop seeking those things on earth because we realize the damage it's done to our life. We now start seeking those things that are in heaven. We no longer have a desire to have those things on earth. And when we start doing those things, when we start desiring the things of earth more than God, God corrects us for that. Only a saved person will desire the things that are above. Before I got saved, I didn't desire the things that were above. These were the things that I desired. After I got saved, my desires changed to those things that are in glory. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Well, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on those things above and not on those things of earth. For ye are alive. No, you're dead. You're dead to your old life. You're dead to who you used to be. You're dead in those things. You're now alive through Jesus Christ. And it goes on and it says this. It sets your affection on those things that are above and not on earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Mortify, that means put these things to death. Mortify, therefore, in your members which are upon the earth. What is the very first thing that he says to get rid of? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That means there's no limit on how you sexually think. Evil concupiscence. That means you have an overly sexual appetite. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of obedience, in which ye also walked when? In some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That is a new person all the way around. That is a new person in how they walk. That's a new person in how they think. That's a new person in how they do things. How about it? Are you a new person in Christ or aren't you? Do you have Bible salvation? That is the question you must render in your heart. Where do you really stand with this God? Because I'm going to tell you now, it has eternal consequences. If nobody takes that serious, there's going to be a price to pay, and it's going to be a sad price to pay when they see where they really are. God help. God help us. God help us today. Thank you, guys. Pastor, I'm done.